Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too.
Hold on. Are you ready to get down and dirty and dig into the real things that you need to be thinking about when it comes to marketing your business? If that's true, then today is your lucky day, as we have none other than Jay Bissell, the self-proclaimed Taco King and marketing champion for the industry. As the marketing director for Equipment Zone, he is a treasure trove of great ideas, excitement, and ways to get your brand to resonate with your ideal customers. So buckle up, Buttercup, as we land our marketing brain on the island of misfit toys, as Jay calls it, and we'll tell marketing stories around this great digital campfire. So, Jay, welcome to the Success Stories Podcast.
Woo! Marshall, I am jacked up.
That's great. That's great. And we've known each other a long time. We've done all kinds of fun projects. And
yes.
Every discussion we always have is epic. And I know this one's going to be just like all the other ones, because I don't think we ever bring in the mediocre crap.
Not on your podcast. Hell no. Woo! Fired up to be here. Thanks for that warm intro. Man, I'm jacked up. Ready to rock.
Well, it's all true, man. All right. So I don't want to mess around. Let's get into this stuff, because usually when we talk, we run out of time. So I just want to get into it. You ready?
I'm ready. Hit it.
Right. So, Jay, one of the ways you describe this industry, and I alluded to that in the opening, is the island of misfit toys, which is probably accurate. And I don't think anyone plans on getting into the industry, right? And we all find our way into the circus somehow. So I want to circle back to the early days, Jay. Before you had a handlebar mustache or whatever, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
How did you get into this industry?
That's a great question. I'll try to give you the short version. I was 15. I was a California refugee who had recently picked up and moved with his family from Southern California to the Wasatch Mountains of the Great Salt Lake City and Park City, and turned in my skateboard for skis. And while I was there, they had a Votech school inside of the high school, and there was a printing and graphics class that I was enamored with, but you had to be a junior or above. I was a sophomore and sweet-talked my way into that class because I found out they were going to be printing t-shirts. And I was like, get the hell out of the way. I need to learn how to do this. And so I learned to print my first shirt before I was 16. And we did it the old-fashioned way, just like you know, amber lith, ruby lith, you know, X-Acto knives, all of the good times of creating a mess, aka printing my first shirt. And I was 16, and I honestly was it was a curse and a blessing, because I had always wanted to be an artist, but I knew that there wasn't really any curriculum, or there wasn't a graphic design degree even available yet. Marshall, as you know, you were a couple years ahead of me, and you pretty much had to walk your own walk. You had to find programs and software and stitch things together. And
well, so back when I was in college, computers didn't exist.
So, yeah, there you go.
So yes. Yes, yes, people, I'm that old.
So I luckily did have the aid of some computers, but it was still very early in the game. And so, yeah, I figured out how to screen print. I was bootlegging t-shirts, doing things you're not supposed to do, broke a lot of copyright laws, and made a bunch of money, and thought, you know, I'm the king of the world. I moved to Lake Tahoe, California, was a ski bum. And while I was there, I got a call from my parents who said, hey, we're moving from Dallas, Texas, back to Phoenix, and we're going to start this screen printing and promo company. And I was like, what? What the hell are you talking about? So that's really how I got here, is same thing. You don't really plan on it. You just got an invitation to the island of misfit toys. And once I got here, I was like, I belong. This is home. Why would I ever leave? I get to wear t-shirts and shorts, or t-shirts and jeans, and I can wear headwear, hoodies. I can make a bunch of money. I can have fun. I can make a difference. And yes, it was hotter than hell in Arizona. catching shirts off the end of that dryer belt was no fun thing when it's 120 and you do not have air conditioning in your shop. But you know what? Those are the stories we tell now. And that's why we have gray hair or less of it.
I call that the summer weight loss program.
That was definitely a summer weight loss. I need to go back to that summer weight loss program. So that was probably the early 90s, you know. So that was my start. And I went to my first impression show, I think, in 92. And I probably met you and Charlie and, you know, some of these, you know, Mark and Richard and these guys that are just like walking encyclopedias of wealth of information, hanging on every word, and realized, you know, where's my strength? My strength is probably not in graphic design, and it's probably not on the press. It's probably more with the big picture and with branding. And so I've just stuck with that.
Right. That's great. And so if maybe you've been under a rock or something, and that's okay. And you've never heard Jay call this industry the Island of Misfit Toys. That comes from a TV show, and I think it's really appropriate. But if you don't know what he's talking about, Jay, just give us a little brief on that.
Yeah. So it's from the classic animation of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And so, you know, you think about the story of what you think you want to be, but not every story is perfect and not every person has the perfect plan. Yet when you realize what you're good at, it doesn't matter what other people thought or what the preconceived ideas were. You know, it's like, let's just get going. Let's move forward, as you always say. And so, you know, I think it was Cornelius and some of these other ragtag misfit toys that were missing parts or pieces, or always wanted to be a dentist instead of a
toy. An elf.
Yeah. And so, you know what? That's the reference. And I think it expands beyond apparel and apparel decorators. The more I've grown and the more I've networked and the more I've had opportunities to connect with people, I see adjacent markets that are truly like this dysfunctional family reunion of print, promo, and apparel. And the analogy of, you know, the Island of Misfit Toys still works there too, because there's so many folks that are just making a great living. Like I said, they're making a difference in their communities, and they're making a pile of cash in most cases. I mean, if you do it well, obviously it's not a gift. It's hard work.
I think the appeal of this industry a lot of times is you can be you, right? So you can go down your own lane. You can serve the customers you like the best. If you're a skateboarder, you can do skateboard stuff. If you're into outdoor sports, you can be the outdoor sport guy, right?
Yeah, and, exactly.
And plus, come on, we're all about comfort in this industry, right? So
100%. I mean,
I'm wearing shorts and a hoodie today.
Right? I was going to say, who wants to wear a tie? Who wants to wear a tie and a suit? I mean, there are probably a few folks, but they're not in my circle of misfits, you know, not very often. I mean, maybe church and weddings and funerals is about the only time I'm going to wear a tie.
Well, let me tell you, Jay, I think probably the amount of days a year that I wear pants that go below my knees are probably under 10. Yeah. So the marketing is kind of what you honed in on. Okay.
Yes.
And we're a lot alike. And I think that's kind of our appeal. We're simpatico that we love talking with people. We love finding stuff out. We love to read. We love to create content. We love to do this stuff. So when you're, you know, kind of traveling through your career, right? Where did you find the answers? Because, you know, we don't know how to do things, and I need to learn that.
Yes.
Or I'm really weak at this. I need to experiment with that. Like, Where are you finding these answers, Jay? Because probably somebody listening right now, they need answers too. Where should they be looking?
Sure. My first lessons in marketing, branding, and, you know, how to stand out in the crowd, how to be different by design, you know, was watching television and looking at commercials and trying to analyze them. Why is this one funny? Why is this one memorable? Why does this one stand out? Same thing with radio, but not as much. But now, fast forward, you know, the last 20 years of my career, it's in an ongoing doctoral program, because marketing keeps evolving and it's moving even faster today. So where I go is I go to conferences. I go to a lot of books. I go to a lot of podcasts. I go to I still am a observer of the game. I'm just a little bit more tuned in maybe than others, especially in the print, promo, and apparel spaces. Who's doing what? Why? Is it working? And I'm not saying that because I want to jump on any bandwagons, but I'm always looking for clues. And the irony of that is some of the best clues given were written in a book in 1996. But, you know, guess what? Because it was from a professor at the Berkeley Haas School of Business, who is still probably considered to be one of the smartest men as it relates to marketing and branding, you know, there are not a lot of YouTube videos from him. There's books, Mark. You know, back in the day when people wrote things down, they published books and articles. And so that's where I was doing a lot of reading, and I was comparing those notes with what's Nike doing? What's Apple doing? You know, and fast forward to today, it's the same thing. It's taking a look back, rereading some of the classics, take a look forward and say, okay, I see what the recipe is. Now it's my opportunity to make my own secret sauce out of that. Like, you know, change the ingredients or add a new ingredient. Or often I fall into these taco associations, references, and metaphors, whatever you want to call them. But that's really what got this whole thing started with the tacos, is I made a comparison to marketing and branding. And I was just talking about, talk about a taco. And I said, you know, everything on the outside, the shell, is kind of like your brand. It's what everybody can see at any given level, at any given time, even if you're not in the room. It's part reputation, it's part experience, but it's your brand. It's the outside of the taco. But all of the fillings inside, all of the goodies, those are all of your marketing tactics. Those are the things you do. And it's okay. I don't care if people say branding tactics or marketing tactics. Yes, I know there's a difference, but for most people, the actual steps you're taking to be different, the actual things you do, the sign on your car, the sign on your door, the legacy of your print and quality, the way you answer the phone, the logo on your hat, the email signature at the bottom of your email, all these little touches, they all are what's inside and what fill that taco with greatness. So I've said tacos are like containers of greatness. And I don't care if it's a corn crispy shell or a flour soft shell or a lettuce or some other pancakes. I've had pancake tacos. Get creative. You know, the shell can be whatever you want it to be. And what you put inside, as long as it has a market and then an appeal and isn't dangerous or offensive to others, there's somebody out there that's going to go, hell yeah, tofu tacos, I'm down. Let's go. And there's other people like, you're disgusting. Tofu does not belong in a taco. And I'm like, have you had one? Have you ever had it? With black beans and the right salsa? Dude, delicious. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wandering already in this podcast, but I just think brand relevance and marketing will never, ever go out of style. And I've been so focused this last 4 or 5 years, thanks to you and Tom, by the way, on this concept of brand relevance and helping people transform their t-shirt business or their t-shirt shop. I don't like to use the word shop, but everybody else does. T-shirt business into an iconic brand, into something that's memorable, into something that matters. So thank you, because you guys pushed me. You invited me to do a training, and I took 6 months, and I did a lot of studying, a lot of reading, and I looked at everything I was doing and everything I thought I knew. And I was like, okay, there's some pieces here that are still going to fit. There's a lot of new things. And, you know, it's not just new shiny things like TikTok. It's a cluttered, lousy, noisy, distracted market. And it's hard as hell to get the attention of other people.
Yes. And I love what you said. One of the things I really want to hone in on here is the learning part. And then there has to be an action part where you try something. You try something new. I know this is going to become a shock to a lot of people, but I wasn't born with a podcast. I had to actually do one a long time ago. Yeah. And I didn't know anything about doing podcasts. I didn't know anything about building a live event like Shirt Lab. I didn't know anything about writing a blog or doing any other things. And you're the same way.
Amen.
But here's what separates me and you from other people is the fact that we're willing to stick it out there and know that the first attempt is just going to be awful. It's going to suck. Nobody's going to listen or watch or read or whatever. And it's okay. We're going to birth the baby anyway. I'm going to learn from that.
Yeah. Yeah, embrace the suck. Those first steps suck. And if you've ever tried to lose weight or get healthy or stop drinking caffeine or stop drinking alcohol or stop smoking or anything that has a vice that is addictive, you know how hard it is, but it's still worth it. And it's still part of the process. and it doesn't matter. And don't let those fears hold you back, whether it's a podcast or a blog or a live event, or whether it's new marketing tools and it's new tactics and it's reinventing and shifting your positioning for marketing and saying, I can no longer afford to be in a sea of sameness. I have got to do things on purpose that distinguish me and differentiate me in the marketplace and attract the people I actually want to do business with. And if I could just get all of that alignment, and it's not easy. It's easy to say it. It's hard as hell to do. But just like you said, you take those first steps, you embrace the suck, and you move forward. And you do it again, and then you shift, and you do it again, and you're pragmatic. And you say, that sucked, but I'm okay with it because, you know, thank God only two people and my mom saw it. So I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it better. I'm going to get a better guest, or I'm going to try a different tactic. And you just keep pushing forward. And guess what? You know, 6 months later, it's not as scary. A year later, you're much better at it. 2 years later, you start to have a following, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's being consistent is what wins, usually.
It is, and I got to tip my cap to you. You are probably one of the most consistent. I mean, dude, you go in every freaking corner, every day, every week. I have got content from you, and it's good. And I'm like, yeah. God, Marshall is
I've got a special tool, Jay. You know what it is?
Yeah, it's called planning ahead, organization, virtual assistants. Yep.
It's called a calendar.
It's called a calendar.
You have one of those?
Yeah, here's the difference.
You can get them cheap.
Follow them. I have them, but getting me to follow that calendar, that's another podcast for another day.
Before we move off this topic, right?
Yes.
I want everybody to listen right now. And we're going to take a mental field trip and we're going to go to the grocery store. And there's a certain aisle in that grocery store that Jay is going to talk about.
Yep.
I didn't prep him on this, by the way. He's going to take you down the special aisle of the grocery store and he's going to tell you something that you may have never realized. And then I want you to think about how you're going to be different than what's in that aisle of the grocery store. So, Jay, where are we going?
Yes, we're going to aisle 12. And aisle 12 in my local Safeway is the cereal aisle. And you will not be too surprised, Marshall, that there is literally a dedicated aisle. I'm talking a good 40 feet long of boxes of various sizes. And this is something that has been going on now over 80 plus years since our good friends at Kellogg's decided to figure out Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And the sad thing is, Marshall, is that there has been very little progress. And the only thing that has happened is everyone copies everyone else. And so on aisle 12, you walk down and you see all of these boxes and it goes like this. Cartoon, 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 bowl, 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 cartoon, cartoon, spoon, spoon, bowl, bowl, spoon, spoon, cartoon, cartoon, cartoon. And the thing just keeps going. And you're like, you know what? You have three choices. You can be enamored with a cartoon character, a bowl of cereal, or a spoonful of cereal. That's the advancement of 80 years. And I just look at these things and I'm like, I'm lost. They all look the same. They literally look the same. And it's frustrating. And it's fun for me to go down that aisle and watch all the people stop, pause, and just get stuck. They don't know what to get. They're wrestling right now. They're thinking, well, what are my kids going to eat? No, I can't get that because, you know, my wife will get pissed if I bring home the Lucky Charms. That's just like bringing home bags of sugar. But they won't eat those healthy ones. Who wants shredded wheat anyway? That's disturbing. You know, if they had a cereal and little tacos, that would be so good. Anyway, yeah, that's what happens. There's no way for them to stand out. And they do a poor job of doing it. And they have multi-million dollar budgets, whether it's Quaker, whether it's Post, whether it's Kellogg's. It freaks me out that they want to look so similar. And they're sitting there next to their competitor. And the thing that they're trying to yell at me is, look at me. I'm a happy cartoon named Captain. He doesn't even spell his name. He's got an apostrophe N, Captain. So it's weird, dude. And I don't get it because I think those smart people should be doing something different by now.
You would think somebody by now would just do some other graphic, something.
Yeah, something different, something that's not in a bowl. You know, and there will be people on the other side of the coin that go, Jay, you're missing the whole point. That's the point. There aren't any other ways. And I'm like, nah, BS. There's definitely other ways.
Yeah.
Other ways to market it, other ways to present it, other ways to make it stand out. There is. It's time. And from that aisle 12, this is the genesis where I'm at in 2024 at the time that we're recording this. And you know, because you were in my class at Impressions Expo, I was like, it's time to unquo the status quo. It's time. Even if you're not sure, take the risk. It would be better to be different than to be the same. Everybody knows that.
So let's shift and let's talk about liquid death.
Liquid death, as you may know.
Oh, hey, look, Jay's drinking one right now.
I have one sitting right here. Imagine that. So, yeah.
Is that the mango? Is it the red one?
No, this is convicted melon.
Oh, yeah.
This is a flavored sparkling water. It is in an aluminum can. And this ruthless tall boy is flavored with just a little bit of natural agave and a little twist of melon. And this is the best way I know how to murder my thirst. And I can recycle my soul because this is in a truly recyclable can. This is called aluminum, folks. And I know that there are going to be people that think that, hey, guess what? But what about plastic bottles? People recycle those too. Well, guess what? The average aluminum can contains 70% recycled material. You can actually take the material, recycle it into a new can. You cannot do that with plastic. And plastic bottles contain only about 3% of recycled plastics. So yes, plastics can be downcycled, but they don't really get recycled. And I'm not an expert on this, but I have done a little bit of research on liquid death, and they've come from nowhere to a multi-million dollar brand.
I think they're like 600, 700 million in sales in about 3 years. So
yep. They went from zero to over 500 million.
What makes them different is the fact that they're not Dasani, Aquafina, Fiji, whatever, right?
Nope.
So I want you to think about, if you're listening to this, the difference between, you know, branded water. How you can't do anything with branded water. There's nothing you could do with that. Well, yeah, you can. You can murder your thirst, and you could go after a completely different market. Now, are there people who hate liquid death because they all have this murder thing and they're all got little Satan or whatever? I don't know. What,
right. They think it looks like a can of beer. People, when it first came out, most people, it was part of their marketing to actually have kids carrying these cans around, and people were freaking out. And they were like, it's no big deal. It's a can of water. What do you mean? It is actually water.
Yeah. And they're laughing all the way to the bank.
All the way to the bank.
So your shop right now, you've got 15, 20, 30 shops, six shops, whatever, in your same county that you compete with, and you all look the same. You're the cereal aisle.
You are. You aisle 12. You're the cereal aisle. Some of you have green presses. Some of you have blue presses. Some of you have red presses. And guess what? You all buy from the same wholesale blank suppliers. We love SNS the most. But guess what? This is you. You are aisle 12. You look the same, talk the same, walk the same, and offer the same damn product and the same way. And you want to bitch about the angle of a squeegee or the tension and the newtons of a screen? Guess what? I get that that's important. I understand those details. Sadly, I understand those details. But the reality is your consumer, your buyer, rarely gives a shit about those details. And so you have to do more than that. You have to be different by design. You just do.
And guess what? They're looking for your version of Murder My Thirst.
They are. They are 100%.
But, of course, that's if, you know, that resonates with that group.
Sure. We both believe in the law of attraction. We both believe in you know, the cliche of your vibe will attract the right tribe. And that mentality is meaningful because, you know, take the risk. Step out. Liquid death. Give me a break. People freaked out when it first came to the market. Like I said, I don't think people are freaking out now, especially the ones that love it. They're buying the brand because of their belief in recycling, their belief in sustainability, that actually is a product that's fun, funny, and tastes good.
Yeah. You know, and don't forget, people buy an extension of them.
Yeah. They want to associate with this. They want to be on this team. Remember, the word fan is short for fanatic. And so if you're a fan of something, you know, and truly a fan, you have multiple hats of the Arizona Diamondbacks, or you have multiple jerseys of the Kansas City Chiefs, or you have multiple t-shirts for the San Francisco 49ers. Did I cover both bases there? So, you're not just wearing a hat, a single shirt, a single thing. You are a fanatic, and it's been something that you associate with.
So. Yeah, exactly. All right. Question two. So as you know, Jay, I'm a big fan of outcomes, right? And I want to be able to chart out what we want, and then we can build how to get there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think a lot of this industry, we just talked about it, looks and acts the same, right? So how can that shop break out of the vanilla way of doing everything the same and really differentiate itself? We've been talking about getting back to brand relevance. I don't think people really understand what that even is. So let's just get in and get messy with that.
I love it. Let's get in and get messy. Let's crush some tacos right here, right now, Marshall. So first of all, do you want to be part of the top 20% or the bottom 80? So you have to kind of have that fight. You have to say, I want to be part of the top 20. So if that's the case, you need to get out of brand preference. Brand preference is what traditional brands do in traditional marketing strategies. You earn a short-term preference. You are a box of cereal that's in for a month or two because it has a different cartoon character. But there's really nothing there. Maybe a new benefit, maybe some discount offer, maybe some crazy pricing bundle, but it's based on preference. And what Marshall knows and what I know is we want to get out of that, and we want to help encourage you to be part of the brand relevance crew. They're the top 20%. They create a new category, or in some cases, a subcategory. They create something that has a long-term advantage, and it emotionally connects with people. So it becomes really deeply relevant to them. Now, you might think, well, how does Liquid Death become really deeply relevant? Again, it's the association. It's who I perceive myself as, and I want to be a part of that group. I want to play with those kids. I want to be on that island of misfit toys. And so brand relevance does more than that, of course. It's not just a marketing trick, and you touched on it. You talked about differentiation. And so some brands are awesome, and they're very much, you know, kind of what I call in the logical camp. They appeal to the head. Others are very good at appealing to the heart. I think the best brands do both, and they become customer obsessed, but they do it in a different way. And the differentiation is what makes them special. And there is a way to map that out. There is a way to actually say, okay, how are we going to go to market and be different? And I always start with, Marshall, tell me what problems you solve. And most people are stuck with that question. They literally are like, is ink on thread? Is that, am I solving a problem by putting ink on threads? Not so much. So you kind of have to make a list of at least a few things, 3, 4, or 5 problems your company is really uniquely qualified to solve. Then I try to help people with this. I say, look, there are 6 choices for you. As far as I've known, as far as I can read, as far as I can research, 6 ways, 6 things, 6 categories, 6 lanes that you can differentiate yourself. And I'm going to take one off the table. I forbid you to use it, and it's price. So write price on a piece of paper, roll it up, get your match, light it on fire, or throw it in the trash can. Save that for another day. Marshall's smarter than I am. He can give you strategies there. I cannot. But I don't want you to play in the price lane anyway, because you'll probably lose. There's always someone with a bigger budget than you. So let's not even go there. What you can do is you can focus in on product. Now, by product, I mean you might have a knowledge base, or you might have some category dominance. You might know trends and colors better than anybody else in your local hyper-specific market. Like you may know something that nobody in a 50-mile radius knows about apparel decoration, about a particular type of decorating. So you could have product be one of your lanes. Another one is service. But again, I'm going to take something right off the table. You cannot say, well, we have amazing customer service. Unfortunately, you're back at aisle 12 on the cereal aisle because everybody says that, so it means nothing anymore. You literally have to distinguish yourself better than just those words. You have to say, we have a speed, or we have an ease, or we provide a convenience in our ordering process, or we package something in a different way, or we provide training both during and after. You really have to dig in on that service. But that's a lane. That's a point of differentiation. The other one I often talk about is just kind of the channel, like the size of our business and the size of the businesses we serve. Maybe you are best at serving on your hyper-local Main Street Chamber of Commerce business networking level, right? So you're like, that's your lane. That's your channel. That's your place in which you do best business. But for other people, it's like we've talked about earlier, it could be skateboarding, it could be outdoor sports, it could be 5K ultra marathons, everybody running, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever it is, get in that lane, that's your lane and own it. For some people, the fourth one is relationships. They have a proven track record. They have years in the business. They have a reputation and a relationship. They're on all of the boards of all of the nonprofits. They have a seat at the table. They're volunteering. They're donating. You know, they just out-relationship you. They know more people and they've known them longer. And people like to have that association. It's nothing against the new kid on the block. It's just we go with what's comfortable. And so sometimes you can out-relationship people and you can say, hey, we're the trusted partner. We have the proven track. We have the certification, right? So, and then there is that other piece where it is truly kind of a accreditation or a reputation. So five, the other fifth lane of these differentiation lanes is reputation. You've got status. You've got achievement. You've got leadership. You know, the community is already vouching for you. You get testimonials. So
creativity.
Yeah. And creativity could be in there as well. It could be in there on the service side. It could be there on the reputation side. You're known as the most creative guy. You're known as the most creative gal. You have more ideas than any human should. So those are the things. I know it seems like clunky for a lot of people. They just look at me when I say these things. They're like, "Oh, I thought you were going to share something really sexy," and I'm like, "I just did." But you're not hearing me. You're not focused on these things. You're focused on the day in, day out, you know, punch the clock kind of things. And I get that, that work on your business versus work in your business. You have to do both, but you have to spend some time working on these differentiation points. And there's so many great examples in our industry of people that have done it. I mean, I don't want to call anybody out because I'll leave somebody off the list.
Yeah. So I think, Jay, I read a really great sentence that can help you with this. It is a fill in the blank sentence. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this. So we help companies like this solve problems like this with solutions like this.
Yes.
Ding, so ding, fill ding. In those blanks.
100%.
And then that's 100%. How you can develop a strategy. So if you don't know the answers to those three blanks, it's going to be really difficult for you to figure out your marketing because you're missing a component.
Yeah, and then you end up being commoditized. You fall into commodity town, and you're back at price. And then you're asking everybody else, well, what do you charge for this? Well,
yeah, if you're that guy on Facebook, there's something wrong with your business. So the other thing that I want you to think about is, if you're listening right now, in your life, there's stuff that you buy that it absolutely doesn't matter the price, you're buying it anyway. That's your favorite pair of blue jeans or shoes or ice cream, or you go to the sports game, or
right.
You go out to your favorite restaurant and the check is $150. It doesn't matter because we had a great time. You do this already in your life. And I want you to figure out is why you do that, right? How can you create a similar reason for your customers to not care about the price at all? And they just do business with you. This could be the, you know, why do you have an iPhone? Well, other phones cost half the price. Why do you have the iPhone? Right? Why do you like this brand of whatever? Mm-hmm. You'll buy it. It doesn't matter what it costs. I'm getting it.
Yep.
Right? Like my son's like all about Air Jordans. You know, they sell other shoes. You don't have to buy those. Right? So why do we need that? And for him, it's aspirational. It's a status thing.
Yep.
Right. Because, you know, 100%. He's a college age guy, right? He wants to look the part and that's his thing, right?
It's a deep emotional connection. He wants to be relevant. He wants to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to show up with the ridiculous Skechers. Who wears those?
Old men that are over 50. That's,
yeah. I've got several pair, right? So, but what I
outed yourself.
Yeah, whatever. I wear Hokas now. They're really comfortable.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, so what it comes down to is you personally buy stuff in your life. Jay buys stuff. I buy stuff. There's things that I like. When I go to the grocery store, it doesn't even matter what the price is. It's in the buggy. I don't even look at the price. You know, like I like Tillamook ice cream, right? It's my favorite brand of ice cream. It doesn't matter what it costs. It's in the cart.
I love it. I get it. Yeah.
So, like, what I'm saying here, though, is I want your customers to feel that way about your business.
I 100% agree with you. You are giving sound advice, really good. It's not easy to do, but it is the thing to do. And the reason that's true is because then you step out. You are different by design. You are purposeful and intentional. You're not just following the latest marketing, whatever. You're actually in a different space, and you have your key points of differentiation. And then if you're really smart, if you really want to ace the test, if you really want to impress the professor, this is a 1996, look it up, kids. The book was called Brand Relevance, and it was by David Aukers. And he talks about how if you can redefine it or define it, if you can name it, then it can become yours. That's what I meant when I said, if you can find a new category or a subcategory, if you can define it and name it, then you have something that nobody else has. And I'll give you a super simple example. Our good friend, you know, Danny Rosen and Robert Fiveash. Danny and Robert own a company on the East Coast in Raleigh, North Carolina, Virginia Beach, Virginia, and other. They're expanding. They're growing. They're going global. But they realized that the times were changing, and things that were called or considered swag, S-W-A-G, swag was kind of losing its momentum. And there were articles being written about how, you know, this is just something we all get. Swag, S-W-A-G, something we all get, or shit we all get. And that's not great. That's an existential crisis if you have a print and promo and apparel company when the New York Times is telling the world, we need less swag in our lives. We need less t-shirts in our life. We need less can coolers in our life. And so what they did is they renamed it something surprising, wondrous, amazing giveaways. And they built a swag lottery machine. And they took it to some of the most impressive, important marketing conferences. And they built this machine. There's only one of them. It's the swag lottery machine. You put in a ticket and out comes something surprising, wondrous, amazing giveaway. And in many cases, it's a record album. And the specific case I remember is a Julio Iglesias album comes out, and the guy is holding it with a ginormous smile on his face, and he starts dancing because he's got this surprising, wondrous, amazing giveaway. And of course, the guys at Brand Fuel, the gals at Brand Fuel, were smart enough to have a sticker on that that allowed them to go to a link and choose their own merch. So if you wanted a t-shirt, you could get it. If you wanted headwear, you could get it. If you didn't want the headwear or the t-shirt because that's not your jam, then that was okay too. But by doing that, they were able to name this. And what they did, which is brilliant, that's why I use this all the time as my examples, is they made the marketing experiential, literally tangible, something that people are experiencing. And they, Brand Fuel is the name of the company, Danny and Robert's company is called Brand Fuel. They named it. They came up with the word phygital, not F phygital, like P-H-Y for physical meets the digital. They married those two words together. They called it something. And now they have something that no other brand has. That, my friends, is a masterclass at differentiation, categorizing something, naming it yourself, and coming up with something so that when they give branded merch to customers and employees, and their engagement's through the roof, the happiness is through the roof. And guess what? Just like Marshall said, price doesn't matter.
Wow. That's the best answer anybody's ever given on this podcast, Jay.
Well, there you go.
That's why you're here.
That's why.
By the way, if you want to hear all about stuff with Danny and Robert, they were episode one of this podcast, and it's no surprise, it's the most listened to podcast episode of this entire series.
There you go. I hope mine comes in second right behind theirs, because this is the magic. And when I tell you, I have the examples of that. They're not just in promo. There's a ton in apparel. But that is the masterclass. They did it like nobody else. They didn't even know they were doing it. They just knew they had to stand out. They knew they had to be different. And they're so creative, and they're so smart, and they're so funny. So I love using them as an example of what we're talking about here today.
Plus, they're just awesome human beings.
Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now, here's Zach Shortley with the SNS Spotlight.
If you've never thought much about the singles and the fabric you're printing on, the brand new Toltec 602 t-shirt is here to change that. Made with combed ring-spun, USA-grown cotton, these t-shirts were developed to set a new standard for softness, printability, and fit. The higher 36 singles count means more yarn per square inch of fabric, giving you a smoother printing surface that makes it easier to produce the soft, detailed print you're looking for. And because the tighter weave helps reduce the amount of ink you'll need to get those results, you can make even more profit on orders with the 602's competitive price point. So the next time you're looking for fashion tees, check out this new SNS exclusive at ssactivewear.com. Thanks for listening.
Another concept that's come up a lot is the idea of digital transformation, right? And so I'm going to break that down for you. So what is digital transformation? This is the adoption of a digital technology to transform a service or business, right? So this could be achieved by replacing manual processes with digital ones, or replacing outdated digital technology with more upgraded digital technology. So I want you to think about AI and digital bots and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Doing the work. So Jay?
Yep.
Is this a good thing? Is this a scary thing? What's the Jay Bissell take on this topic?
This is a great scary thing. This is both. This is good thing. Yes, it can be new. It can feel scary, but I am for it 100%. And you have to be, or you will get rolled over. You will become the dinosaur. So don't do that. Embrace it. Learn from it. Figure out ways to apply it. And a couple of examples, the explosion of direct-to-film transfers is one that we've all heard about. We all know about it now. It's nothing new. But guess what? 3 years ago, nobody knew what that was. And if you did know what hashtag DTF was, it was not something that you would want to share in mixed company or with your kids. So now, when you talk about it, people understand the digital printing side of it and the new applications. But I'll give you another one, because I was just working on this today. Marshall, this is why I think it's a great thing. And I think it is scary. So I'm sitting down with our web designer and our main graphic designer at Equipment Zone, and we're trying to solve a problem. We're trying to figure out how do we repurpose some of our best YouTube videos and convert them into shorts, little short snippets, both for Shorts, which is a tool on YouTube, as well as potentially TikTok, as well as potentially Reels. So we have Instagram Reels, we have TikToks, and we have YouTube Shorts. So guess what? 5 years ago, that would have had to have been done manually. 3 years ago, manually. 2 years ago, we started to see AI tools that would do some of the work for you. By some of the work, I mean, you're not hiring a virtual assistant. You're uploading your video, and what comes back out are six shorts that are already edited, already have the titles, the text, the copy, the descriptions, and then allow you to do the final editing, the final viewing, like changing words or changing things. I'm telling you, that would save us 10 hours a week, if not more.
All right, Jay, what's that tool name? Because everybody's like, they got their pen ready right now. What is it?
I'll have to look it up. I haven't committed it to memory. I know, I'm letting you down. As soon as I did that, I'll tell you what it is when it circles back around and hits me before the end of this podcast. How about that?
I hope so.
Well, it's something that we're looking at as a tool in the toolbox that's going to allow us an increase in productivity. It's literally taking time. It's a time saver, but it's not just that, because we can then reallocate those hours to other things.
Yes.
And so it's a productivity tool, and it maximizes our efficiencies. I'll give you another one, Marshall, though, that's a hybrid. And it's purposely for Equipment Zone. Again, sorry for the Equipment Zone example, but it's purposely a hybrid. We've had a live chat bot on our website for, this will be the start of 6 years. Now, that doesn't mean anything. We weren't ahead of the curve, maybe a little bit ahead of the curve. We weren't the first, and we didn't just do this last year. We've been doing this for 6 years now. But instead of an autobot that's going to spit back frequently asked questions, we have live sales reps monitoring the chat. It's us. You're talking to us. and we take turns. And we can cover between Arizona and New Jersey about 9 hours in the day. And so what that means is divided by five or six people, it's not that hard. Everybody takes a few hours. Everybody can, we can switch, we can move through this. But by having a human that's actually talking to you is dynamic. It's also an issue of speed. So we are really easy to get a hold of and we are really fast. Think about that. When someone wants to know something, that's when they're most likely closest to the goal line. That's when they are, that's when you become the most brand relevant to them. And so by us answering those things live, it's been a game changer.
That's awesome. And what I love about this is, you know, I'm a huge Mark Schaefer fan, right? Who's a great author, by the way. One of his catchy catchphrase things that he has is the most human company wins. So if you're helping people where they live with their problems immediately right now, and they can get that thing solved and move on, you're their hero.
100% agree with that. And the other thing that I love about Mark Schaefer is he's the one that taught me there's a huge difference between insights and information. And if we would provide more insights to people and actually less info, we would be more relevant to them. And here's the thing. If somebody comes on our chat and starts blabbing about something, they'll instantly know we're human. And if we provide an insight for them, it's a game changer because they could have found the info on their own. They could have easily gone and Googled something. They could have easily gone and kept browsing through our pages and found the answer. But you know what? Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, we're a little bit lazy and we just want someone to tell us the answer.
We're lazy? People are lazy? I haven't heard that.
Ah, man. Yes, they are. And if you're the person that comes on our Instagram and it's an ad and says price, if you do that to me one more time, I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. That's a challenge. I think everybody's about to do that, Jay.
It's like, just click the button. You're one click away from all of your answers. Great.
You know, a lot of people are scared as what's behind the button. Okay. That's scary. A button click sometimes.
Yeah, it's scary. It's very new. It's new technology. If you want more information, click here. If you'd like to know the price of this machine, click here.
Right.
But in the comments, price question mark? Oh. Right. Yeah. Marshall, that kills me.
All right. So I'm a big fan of AI stuff. I love it. And I love playing around with stuff. And if ChatGPT or Bard, whatever it is, or Midjourney or Stable Diffusion or DALL-E 3 or, you know, name your AI thing, right? There's a lot of people who are really scared of that, who feel threatened by that. And this is, I've been saying this for a while, probably at least a year and a half or so. If it scares you, then it's meant for you. You have to get past that, okay? Because all of this stuff isn't going away, right? And AI has been around for a really long time. You just haven't really realized it. So when you ask, you know, Siri something, or you type in an address and it gives you the route to the Mexican restaurant, right? That's right. All AI. Grammarly, which I love as a writer, makes me look like I'm way more intelligent than I am, saves me on a constant basis with misspelling and grammar problems and whatever. That's AI.
Right.
Right. And my Grammarly is hooked up to all of everything that I'm typing in online, whether that's a Facebook post or my email or a blog that I'm writing or whatever. It likes, no dummy, the quote goes before the colon, you know, it does that for me because I type fast with the fat fingers and, you know, digest go, right? And then I go back and make it pretty later. You know?
Right. Yeah,
so that's all AI. And it's just great. And I think you need to be playing with this stuff. You need to be asking things. And I'm a big fan of ChatGPT. I use it daily. Don't even get me started on Midjourney. I've got my little man crush on that, right? it's just a good thing. And we need to be learning the stuff.
Yes, 100%. So while you were talking and waxing on, making very good points, I did remember, with a little help from Google, there's a YouTube channel I like called Think Media. And it's not like I'm religiously following them, but they have a lot of good content. And this is not an ad. This was just not them selling anything. I'm sure they're getting some residual kickback, but they weren't like doing an ad for this company. But, and there are several. If you Google it, there'll be 10. But the one that caught my eye was called Opus, O-P-U-S, opus.pro, I think is their website.
That's a really good winery, by the way.
Well, there you go. So basically their claim is, here's how you can make 30 YouTube shorts from a 1 hour YouTube video. So anyway, I haven't purchased the tool. I haven't used the tool, so I'm not going to fully endorse it, but just the idea of it was mind blowing. And whether it's like you said, whether it's Midjourney, you and I are working on another secret sauce project, that's going to be revealed soon. I'm so impressed. Again, I'm not gushing, I'm fanboying on you, but I got to give you credit, dude. You're taking arrows in the back because you're the first one charging through the door. And I know there are other industry folks who are kind of giving you shit about, really, you're going to be promoting Midjourney. But you know what? Good on you, bro, because you're going to figure shit out way faster, way sooner than everybody else. And not only that, you're such a good dude. You're giving us some of the recipes. You're giving us examples of how this will be applied in our industry. So I'm all about you being the renegade and the rebel and the first to charge through the door. And good on you, man. You know, tell those other folks to pound sand.
Well, thanks. Well, I ignore that, right? To me, it's they're threatened. It's the ego thing. And I totally realize that. And here's the thing. I'm an XR director. I still designed, right? I know all this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. It's just another tool in the toolbox.
Existed a long time ago, and I was doing this as my daily career, man. I would be so using it, right?
Marshall, I had this exact conversation with our web designer, and she does high-end killer 3D animation. Not only that, she's an adjunct professor and teaches it. And we have this conversation. I said, well, where were the photographers freaking out when Photoshop came out?
Yes, they were freaking out.
Yeah, they were, right? Yeah, and they were like, what? You guys have this tool that can...
Yeah, or the digital camera. Remember when Kodak famously didn't shift to digital? Okay, this is what's happening. Either, you know... Let's just talk digital transformation, okay? Not too long ago, Jay, the only way to cross the Atlantic Ocean was by ocean liner, right?
Yep.
That's the only way you can make it across. New York over, right? The only way to make it across is on a boat, okay? Something was invented, the Boeing Constellation, and now it's like 3-4 hours across and you're done, okay? And millions of people, guess what they stopped doing? They stopped using the ocean liners, okay? Did the ocean liners go away? No, the cruise industry was born.
Yeah.
That didn't exist before the Boeing Constellation. So my kind of thing, when people start talking about AI, they start talking about Midjourney or, you know, image creation, you know, using these tools, right? Oh, you're going to take people's jobs? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of people who lost their jobs because of the Boeing Constellation. There's a lot of people who got new jobs from the cruise industry, okay? So that's been going on for the history of man. Either you embrace the change or you're going to die off. Yes. Tough darts. Do it. Tough. Get involved.
Yeah.
That's what I got to tell you.
Do it. You're right. Thanks, coach. I need that inspiration.
Right. Soapbox moment over. We got one last question, then we're going to wrap it up, right?
Okay,
so,
let's wrap. We're going long
right
now.
I want to talk about the future of marketing, right? Mm. I believe, and you know this to be true, currently, right now, today, there's a tremendous, overwhelming amount of noise on social media. Like, you post something, I don't care what channel it is, 30 seconds later, it's ignored. Okay? Most companies are investing, you know, and they seem to be doing better at this. What they're doing is they're building communities. They're building experiences for their customers or maybe their potential customers, right?
Right, right.
So somebody listening right now, they're a t-shirt printer, they're an embroiderer, whatever they're doing, they're in promo. Should they be considering maybe building some sort of experiential marketing thing where there's a community day or there's a thing or, you know, kind of, you know, that's what we did with ShirtLab, right? We build a community. Should they be thinking about this, Jay? What do you think?
Yes, 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 100%. Put this on the list. So you've got, let's see, in the order, brand relevance, figure that out. You've got the people like us do things like this, figure that out. You've got what Marshall said, which was something I've stolen from you. I solve problems like this, fill in the blank, for people like you, fill in the blank, using this solution. And the solution happens to be, most of the time in our world, a branded merch item. But, you know, and then points of differentiation, and then this. So this is the perfect way to end this podcast, is to figure this piece out, to say, how can I be part of a community and how can I build a community that's going to make a difference in my business? So you could, first of all, be part of a community that could help build your business, both on the personal side as well as on the financial business side. So look for opportunities there. That could be everything from a softball league to a church to a charity to business-minded folks getting together for roundtables and masterclasses. And so look for your community, right? Whatever you're interested in, whatever niche, everything from mountains to marijuana, you're going to find people. Those two happen to go together, by the way. You're going to find
a mountain groups. Of marijuana?
Wow, don't deviate me like that, Marshall. Holy holy guacamole. I'm trying to keep on track. It's all I can do, man.
Yeah.
But yes, to be a part. And this is back to Mark Schaefer again, leading the charge. Communities are the last great hope for branding. And it's going to be something that when we create experiences for people, we're no longer just pushing out. You know, it's like when you create an experience for somebody, you are creating opportunity for them to be co-collaborators. You are giving them more power. You are giving them more emotion, not less. And so if they take it, they're taking that experience because they are significantly interested and emotionally connected to it. I'll give you a simple example. We just got back from Las Vegas. We had our annual promo kitchen mixer. It was a wild success, hugely successful.
I miss that party, man.
I know. It's one of the best things about the whole PPAI experience. So if you're ever interested in promo, you want to know more about mentoring, Promo Kitchen. Happy to talk to you about Promo Kitchen. Happy to talk to you about education and mentorship there. Marshall knows all about it. He was a former chef. I'm a current chef. We are geared up. So this year, we did something different. We wanted to walk the walk and have an experience. Now, this isn't anything new, but this is why it still works. Guess what we did? We decided to partner with Stalls and with Outdoor Cap and have an experiential where you could build kind of like a Build-A-Bear, right? Build your own hat. It's a make and take. It's a print on demand.
The actual term, I believe, is called a live activation.
A live activation, however you want to name it, whatever you want to do. If you've got an ego and you want to be correct, listen to Marshall. Whatever you call it, you're going to have your own little recipe of what to do. We chose headwear, and we decided to have people in lines as they're coming up to the big event to say, hey, would you like a hat, Marshall? Now, it turns out, Marshall, turns out there's a lot of people who don't want a hat because of either the style or because they're just not into headwear.
Oh, it's going to mess my hair up.
Right. Or it's just not me. I don't want this hat. I don't want an extra hat. Where will I put it? On your head, dummy. But right. So first of all, let's give them the chance to opt out. So that was the step one. Step two, which of these three hats would you like? Now you could take a blank hat, which would be probably a mistake, but you could do it. Or you could take a hat that had the Promo Kitchen logo on it. But Marshall, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who love our party, but they don't want to leave as a walking billboard wearing a Promo Kitchen hat. So what we said is, or third station, you could come up with something yourself. We have different patches already made for you. We have a heart patch, a diamond patch. We have a get lucky patch. We have different transfers. We have things that are funny that say, I won't even repeat them because my mind isn't bringing them up right now, but if I could think about it, I would say the idea of this was to let people be the co-designer or co-collaborator of the hat. We created an experience for them. I thought, you know, 20, 25 people are going to be excited about this. And the other 300 who are all already in this business, they are all either promo or apparel people that they would be like, oh, what? I don't want that. Dude, the line was 100 people deep. They couldn't wait to be co-collaborators and co-designers. They had the best experience ever. And guess what we were doing while they were making their hat? Talking about mentorship, talking about why we're different, talking about Promo Kitchen stands for something. This is our community. People like us do things like this. And I'm telling you, dude, I can't take all the credit. It was a collaboration. It was a live activation. Stalls, I got to give credit and credit where credit is due. Kelly and Jenna from Stalls crushed it. So Tanner from Outdoor Cap crushed it. And of course, I brought a little spicy tacos to the party. I'd like to think.
Was there a taco patch?
I had one. Of course, I had one.
You need to get Stalls to make you some chenille
tacos. They have. It's so cool that you say that. They have actually done that for me, and I'm just waiting for the perfect hat to apply it to. But I'll end on that because it was different. It was a way for us to unquo the status quo. It was a way for us to have an experience and introduce our community. Now let me end on this. The reason I'm sharing that, that's not groundbreaking. Everybody's heard of this before. If they've listened to this podcast, they're like, yeah, no, we've been doing that for 5 years. Have you? Have you really? I'll bet you 98% of your client base have never been in your shop, have never pulled a squeegee, have never hooped a shirt, have never heat pressed a garment, a bag, a tote, something. They haven't. You're full of shit, and I'm calling you out on it right now. That's my job. It's 2024. It's on. Uncoil the status quo. Create the community using the tools that you already know. You know them. You're tired of them. You're probably bitching at those tools. But your customers are going to fall in love with it. Not all of them, but a large percentage of them. And when they see that for the first time, and when they make something for the first time, they are emotionally connected to you. You have just delivered them brand relevance.
Exactly. That's awesome. You know, there's some restaurants that have seating so you can watch the chefs prepare, right? There's also some restaurants that have actually a dining table in the kitchen.
100%.
Right? And it's because you want a better experience that nobody can have. You're sitting right there while they're preparing the meal, right? And that's called the chef table.
So cool.
This isn't a new idea. People have been doing this for a long time, and it's just, how can we make it our own? And so what I think Jay is throwing the gauntlet down.
Smack.
Did you get it? Are you picking it up? That's the question.
Are you going to pick it up? Are you going to pick up that ball and run with it? Or are you going to just kind of get back to whatever busy work you were doing before you listened to this?
They were making snappy comments on Facebook. That's what they were doing.
I thought you said it. You ignored them, Marshall. I thought you said you ignore all that.
I do. What? I don't read that. I have a Facebook strategy, Jay. You know what it is?
Oh, tell me.
I call it the Facebook drive-by. So I open up Facebook maybe once, sometimes twice, but usually once a day, and I'm in there for 5 minutes, and then I'm out. I just want to see what people are talking about and what they post. And, you know, I posted something that somebody reply, whatever, and then I'm out the door and you won't see me again until tomorrow.
That's fair. Right? I like that drive-by strategy.
Yeah. I call it the drive-by. To me, it's equated with a car accident on the other side of the highway. Yeah. Look, oh my God, it's on fire, but you keep going, you know?
Something Jay did. Look, it's on fire.
That car flipped over. What's going on with that? So. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, my friend, for sharing your story of success today.
My pleasure.
I knew this was going to be just a killer episode. So, Jay, what is the best way to contact you if somebody out there wants to learn more about what you do or maybe how you can personally help them?
I would love it if you would connect with me on LinkedIn, my absolute top of the charts favorite social media tool.
LinkedIn is your jam.
LinkedIn is my jam. You can direct message me. You can ask me anything about what we covered here on this amazing podcast. Marshall, actually, it's really cool. I know we've tried to do this for a while now, so I feel like, I don't know if I have a success story to record, What were you going to say?
This is like, I don't know, what, 2 months in the making.
Or maybe
forever.
2 years. I don't know. You asked me a while back. The thing is, it's just a really cool opportunity. I wanted to, give my A game, and I hope somebody heard something that will make a spark. And I want to end on this, that Sally Hogshead has written a really cool book about fascination. The word fascinate.
You gave me that book.
I did give you that book. It's amazing. If you want to go deep dive on branding and how to be different by design, that's your book. And you can fascinate people with something different. And she says it's better to be different than it is to be better. And when I first read that, it was a breakthrough moment for me. Yeah, I have literally gotten caught up in the egos, in the trying to be better, trying to, you know, trying to be the best or trying to look the best, or, well, Jay, you need to look more professional. You know, you need to get a haircut, or you should shave, or, you know, why are you always wearing those hats, or all of the things, the fears that we both have, the baggage we're carrying, but actually the things that sometimes people say to you. And you know what? This was liberating. It's better to be different than it is to be better, because better is fleeting. Someone will top you tomorrow, if not today. But when you're different, you are different, baby. And that's your lane. And you
be yourself.
Be you. And you can master that and then be the best you can. And be kind. Be kind to people, Marshall. For heaven's sakes, we don't have a lot of time here. So let's be nice. Just be nice.
Exactly. All right, dude. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate you. And reach out to Jay.
He's LinkedIn, baby. Hit me up on LinkedIn. Love to talk to you. Keep the conversation rolling. Marketing, brand relevance, points of differentiation. You want to transform your t-shirt business into an iconic brand? I know a guy.
Yeah, plus tacos.
And tacos. Let's hang. Let's go. I'm ready right now.
All right. See ya.
All right. Take care, Marshall.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at Marshall@MarshallAtkinson.com, and we'll see you next time.